This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
To be ready for something, the first thing that you have to do is to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's to acquire and to earn the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must meet those days with repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of you. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, and repent to Allah, all of you. أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, O believers, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, so that you may be successful. So our success in this world and the hereafter is dependent upon us returning and repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second thing that you have to do is, of course, you have to make the conviction, you know, just like with everything that you do in life, when it's something big, you plan it out. Like when you're going on vacation, people plan it, right? You spend time and you make sure that this, you have everything ready. And so the same thing with the deen, we have to be even more, and we have to be ready to make the conviction. And what is our plan? Our plan is, you know what? Okay, this is the first 10 days. They're the most blessed 10 days of the year. Then it should not be. We should not treat it the same way. It should not be the exact same days. Like, okay, this is what I do normally. Okay, you don't continue doing everything that you normally do. These are special days, and that you should make the conviction. The first thing is the intention. The intention, why is it very important to have the conviction, the azima, and the intention? Because if something were to happen to you, you would get the reward anyways, even if you weren't able to do it. Say, let's say you become sick or something happens. You will, inshallah, because of your conviction, you will, inshallah, earn the reward even if you don't do it, because you already had the intention. If you are truthful, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you. And that's why make the conviction and also make the intention and make the effort. Don't make it the same thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as soon as you do that, Allah will guide you, will help you. And that's why Allah says, وَالَذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَالَذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينا, those who struggle in our path, we will guide them to our path. Those who struggle in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will guide them to our path. Which means what? When you perform jihad, and jihad of course is, of course, there's the fighting jihad, but al-jihad also is any type of effort that you put in, that you exert. So any extra effort that you exert, Allah will guide you. لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Allah will then make it easy for you to do good deeds. And Allah will show you. But the first you have to do is, you have to show it in action. You have to start it. Once you start it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the rest easy for you, inshallah. And of course, you know, when it comes to obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first is in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the patience in the obedience of Allah, and patience also in abstaining from that which is haram, staying away from the haram. So in these acts, on these days especially, if there are certain things, certain habits that you're used to doing, stay away from those habits. Make sure you take full advantage of the time, because these are times in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you and made us. You might not like, you go out, especially living in the United States of America, you know, you go out and you don't see anything different. You don't see anything change. So if you're living in Medina, right away, the first 10 days are here. What do you see? You go out and there are people all over the place, from all over the world. Like, it's actually, it's if you live in Mecca, everything has changed, right? And so as Muslims also, there are certain things, like, you know, that in a Muslim country, you can also feel it a little bit more. You know, you have the spirit and everything. And just like in America, you know, when somebody at the end of the holiday season, towards December, you see everybody, you know, they put all these decorations up, and it's like, it feels different, right? It feels different. But for Muslims, you know, living in a non-Muslim country, some of these days that are considered very, very special, we don't see anything different. And that's why we have to struggle even more. It's a little bit more difficult for us to try to also to make it something that to remind each other and to help, inshallah, in making it more unique and more special, because these are the days in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed. And when we say blessed, these are the days in which you do very little, but you get a lot. You know, these are the times in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. Like this is the best days. These are the best days of the year. And when we say, what does it mean about the best days of the year? These days, if you're doing good deeds, they're more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you greatly also. And so when you want to earn the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you increase your actions in these days in which they're very beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by these days. Allah says, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشِرٍ. And the mufassirun, all the scholars of the tafsir, the majority of them are of the opinion that these 10 days or these 10 nights, Allah says, وَالْفَجْرِ, by the dawn, وَالْفَجْرِ. And when he swears by something, this is something that's very significant. He doesn't swear by anything insignificant. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he swears by something, is to emphasize that point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the وَلَيَالٍ عَشَرٍ, by the 10 nights. By the 10 nights. Right? What, the 10 nights? Yes, the 10 days in... And this is also one of the reasons that makes the first 10 of Dhul Hijjah so special, is that the first 10 days and the first 10 nights, the days and the nights are blessed, are special. Most of the time when we speak about the first 10 nights of Ramadan, or last 10 nights of Ramadan, it's the 10 nights of Ramadan. But when it comes to the first 10 of Dhul Hijjah, these are the days and nights that are most blessed, and most deeds done therein are most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls these days ayyam al ma'lumat. These are very, very well-known days. What do we mean if something, when you say something is ma'lum? It means well-known, ma'lum is famous. These are like amazing, you know, these are like well known, meaning these are the days that are considered famous. You know, say when you mention certain days, I didn't know that day was this and that. And you know, like sometimes like nowadays, you know, you have new holidays all the time in the U.S. especially, like, people are not going to school today. Why are they not going to school? It's Juneteenth. like what? I don't remember having that, right? And when growing up, this is something that, you know, it's a federal holiday, a new holiday, right? And so most people maybe are unaware of these days, right? Maybe some people are like, it's just a regular day. Oh, not special, not a federal holiday. What is it? You know, what is it for? But, you know, when somebody mentions like the 4th of July, it's like, it's an old holiday. Everybody knows about it, right? It's well known. He's like, it's the first or the beginning of the year, for example, New Year's Day. Everybody knows it's something that's famous, that's popular, that's well known. So these are the well known days. Allah says, وَيَذْكُرُ اسْمَ اللَّهِ, and the وَيَذْكُرُ اسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ, in the days that are ayam ma'lumat. These are like, you know, very well known days. Days that are known to all. I mean, people that this is also in the days of what? This is also, believe it or not, even before, during the time before Islam in Jahiliyyah, they did have, you know, these were the days of Hajj, were very, very well known. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَذْكُرُ اسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ عَلَى مَا رَزَقَهُمْ مِنْ بَهِيمَةِ الْأَنْعَامِ, upon what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for them of the cattle and animals that, of course, that we slaughter. And al-ayyam al-ma'lumat, as according to Abdullah ibn Umar ibn and Abdullah ibn Abbas, these are the first 10. The first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. These are the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned another hadith. The hadith in Al-Bazar ibn Hibban, and the hadith is considered authenticated by Al-Imam Al-Albani rahimahullah, from Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Faddu ayam al-dunya, ayam al-ashr. The virtues, and of the days of this dunya are in the virtues of the first 10 of the first 10, yeah, the first 10 of Dhul Hijjah. And he said, they said, وَلَا مِثْلَهُنَّ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, like even فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, it's not like it. There's nothing like it. Says, no, there's nothing like it. وَلَا مِثْلَهُنَّ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. There's nothing like it, even in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in jihad fi sabilillah, except for a person, afara wajhahu bit-turab, that except for a person who has already gotten his dirt past, you know, in other words, he has dirt on his face. And when does a person get dirt on his face, put dirt on him? That once he dies in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A shaheed, one who dies in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, one of the greatest days, one of the greatest days, the day Yawm al-Hajj al-Akbar, the day of the Hajj, the great Hajj. What day is that? What is the day of Yawm al-Hajj al-Akbar? It is Yawm al-Arafah. And some people, they say, oh, when Arafah comes together on a Friday. No, Yawm al-Hajj al-Akbar is the greatest day in Hajj, which is Al-Hajj Arafah. Hajj is Arafah. Why Hajj is Arafah? Because if you don't catch Arafah, then you don't catch Hajj at all. And that's why, and you have to be there at nighttime, at least at nighttime. So you, of course, it's sunnah to be there from Dhuhr, but it has to be part of the night, day and the night. Part of the day and the night. And if you miss the day, then the night is sufficient. As long as you get to Arafah before Fajr. Because the end is Fajr. If you go after Fajr, then it doesn't count. And so that's why those people who are sick, who came to make Hajj, and they're in the hospital, do you know what they do at nighttime? They put them in the ambulance. Everyone in the hospital, who's in the hospital on the day of Arafah, they put them in an ambulance, and there's a roll of ambulance. All they do is they go into Arafah and they come back out. Then they bring them back to the hospital. Why? Because as long as you're in Arafah and the night before Fajr, then you have Hajj, inshallah. Because a lot of them came to make Hajj, but they're sick, and so they can't go to Arafah. So they're in the hospital. So the hospitals put them in the ambulance at nighttime, and they go into Arafah and they come out right away. As long as you get just a few moments in Arafah, you go straight through and you come back out at nighttime, then inshallah you have Hajj. Then you have Hajj. Everything else you can make up. But the thing that you can't make up for is the day of Arafah. Even if you miss, like, you know, tawaf al-Hajj, the tawaf al-Ifadah. Let's say you don't make tawaf al-Ifadah, you home. You can still come back a few months later. You go home, come back a few months later, and go make your tawaf al-hajj. Because the majority of the scholars are of their opinion, there's no limit to when you can make your tawaf al-ifadah. Some scholars have mentioned that it's the end of Dhul Hijjah, but there's no specific proof in relation to that. But the greatest day falls into the day in which dua and supplication, it is the day of Arafah, and it is the day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives people of their sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees His servants from the hellfire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala boast to the angels about those, about the people of Arafah. So that one of the things that makes it a great day, or the first 10, because the day of Arafah is in it also. And it is the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfected his deen. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islama deena. It is the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed his religion, his deen. And so this is the greatest blessing that anyone has, anyone can have, is the deen, is Islam, is faith, is iman. Because you can have anything else. You can have all the money in the world. But if you don't have Islam, then you're a loser. You're a loser in this life and also in the hereafter. In this life, because you don't know why you're here, and your life is in shambles. If you don't know what you're doing and why you're here, then in the hereafter, of course, you'll be the greatest loser. Why? Because the only religion that Allah will accept is Al-Islam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed it on the day of Arafah. And of course, there are many virtues of the day of Arafah, and inshallah, that's for another time, inshallah, we'll speak a little bit more on the day of Arafah and the virtues of it. But also, what makes the first 10 so special? It is also the day in which it's the day of slaughtering, Udhiya. These are the days in which we slaughter, and the days in which the pilgrims slaughter. And if you're not making pilgrimage, also, these are the days in which, meaning the last day, of course, Yawm al-Eid, the 10th, right? The 10th is also a day in which, you do Udhiya after the khutbah and so forth, and it's the day in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَعْظَمُ الْأَيَّامِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ يَوْمُ النَّحْرِ. أَعْظَمُ الْأَيَّامِ, the greatest days in the sight of Allah is the day of slaughtering, يَوْمُ النَّحْرِ. Which day is that? It's Eid, Eid al-Adha, يَوْمُ النَّحْرِ, ثُمَّ يَوْمُ الْقَرِ. And then after that, these are the days that follow, right? The days that follow in terms of, they are also, these are the, the Eid. You have the Eid day, and then you have Ayam al-Tashriq. Then you have Ayam al-Tashriq. And also, what makes this also something, what makes these days so great? Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he says, وَالَّذِي يَظْهَرْ أَنَّ السَّبَبْ فِي امْتِيَازِ عَاشِرَةِ الْحِجَّةِ لِمَكَانِ اجْتِمَاعِ أُمَّهَاتِ الْعِبَادَةِ فِيهِ. The reason why these days are so special, that make these days stand out, is because all the major acts of worship are combined. Meaning all the major acts of worship, which is what? Of course, we pray all the time. And then you have as-siyam, the fasting. You can fast anytime in the first 10 days. At the same time, also the fasting of Yawm al-Arafah for those who are in Arafah. And this is for those who are not in Arafah. For the pilgrims, they don't fast. The sunnah is that they don't fast. Some of the scholars, some of the Hanafi scholars, are of the opinion that it's recommended to even fast even on that day. But the Prophet ﷺ did not, because he stood up and he sat on his camel and he drank to show everyone that he wasn't fasting. So he was on his camel. And a lot of time the Prophet ﷺ would be on his camel. You might think, well, why is he? The Prophet ﷺ is very humble. He's very humble. He's usually always walking. And the only reason why he's on his camel is because people are always crowding around him. And everybody wants to know what he's doing. Right? Everybody wants to know what he's doing. And so that's why the Prophet ﷺ, when he made tawaf around the Kaaba, he was on foot. And then everybody was crowding. Imagine, the Prophet ﷺ is there, you have thousands of people. Everyone said, okay, what is he doing? What is he doing? So that we can do the same thing, right? And so because it's hard for people far away to see and they're always crowding around him, it makes it very difficult for him to make tawaf. At the same time, also makes it difficult for everyone else who's crowding around him also. And so the Prophet ﷺ got up on Qaswa, which is his camel. His camel, and he made tawaf around the, on the, on the, on his tawaf around the Kaaba on his camel. And so that some scholars have said, no, you should always walk. The default, you should walk. Only if you need to, then you should ride, because the Prophet ﷺ needed to be on his camel so that everyone can see him, and because everyone was crowding around him. But he didn't start making tawaf around his camel right away. But the stronger opinion, wallahu alam, is that it's permissible to do so. But the Messenger of Allah, even on Yawm al-Arafah, the Prophet ﷺ got up on his camel, and he would stand up, and also then he got on his camel and he made dua. Because, you know, when you get on your camel, everyone can see. Everyone is trying to see what the Prophet ﷺ is doing. Because he said, خُذُوا أَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ, take from me your rituals, the ritual acts in Hajj. And so that's why in Hajj, or in the first 10 of the Hijjah, you have the prayer, you have the fasting of Yawm al-Arafah, you have sadaqah, you're giving charity also. What kind of charity? You can give any type of charity. In fact, you can even give zakat. The majority, you know, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ didn't all wait for like how we do it in the month of Ramadan. Some of them, in fact, we have a lot of narrations from some of the companions. They used to do it in Muharram. So there are three tens that the scholars, meaning the companions and the great scholars, used to elevate in status, used to look at it as significance. What are these three tens? Three tens, right? The first ten, the first ten of the Hijjah, the last ten of Ramadan. Anybody know what's the other ten? What's the other ten? Last ten of the Hijjah, a first ten of the Hijjah, and the last ten of Ramadan. What's the other ten? Anybody know? That the scholars used, like, oh, these tens are coming. These 10 days are here. The last 10 of Ramadan, the first 10 of Dhul Hijjah. What's the other 10? The first 10 of Muharram. Very good, mashallah. First 10 of Muharram. What's the 10th of Muharram? It's Ashura, right? Ashura. But they also used to consider Muharram very significant, in the first 10 of Muharram to be very significant. So these are the three tens that are significant that the scholars and the companions of the Prophet ﷺ used to elevate in terms of status. And so you have sadaqah, and then of course you have hajj, which you cannot do except in the first, except for Dhul-Hijjah, right? And so when does hajj end? Hajj actually after Arafah, the day of Eid, that's technically the end. If you've done that much only, then your Hajj is finished, and everything else is sort of like a follow-up. Do you understand? So once you're in Arafah, you go to Muzdalifah, the next day of Eid, that's it. That's the first ten. And afterwards is Ayyam al-Tashriq. The Prophet ﷺ said, Ayyam al-Tashriq is what? Ayyam al-Akli wa Shurb wa Dhikrillah. Ayyam al-Akl wa Shurb wa Dhikrillah. It's the days of eating and drinking and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have, for example, you have the first 10 days of the Hajj, the last 10 days of Ramadan. What's the last 10 days of Ramadan? The last 10 days of Ramadan are part of Ramadan. And then after the Ramadan, what's the first of Shawwal? It's Eid. So our Eid, right? Our Eid, the greatest day is the 10th day. This is the day of slaughter, the day of tawaf, the day in which you do the stoning, and the pilgrims, of course, are also, they shave during Hajj, and once they do that, they get out of the state of ihram, right? They get out of the state of ihram. That means it's, you know, they're just everything else. After that, you make tawaf around the tawaf. Those are the 3 days of Eid that follow afterwards. And so, but of course, it's sunnah, of course, to continue. And it's actually wajib for the pilgrims to stay the 12th, the 11th, and the 12th also. And the 13th is something that's optional. The 12th, when we say wajib is something that you can make up. You have to do it, but you can also make it up. When you say something is fard or rukun, it's something that you can't make up, right? You can't make up. Like, you miss it, it's over. It doesn't count. Like, for example, if you're praying, if you prayed four rak'ahs and you miss just one, if you miss just the, you know, any of the, let's say, for example, you didn't read Al-Fatiha, or you did not make sujood, or you did not make ruku. Can you make it up? You have to bring a new one, a new rak'ah. And if you miss the whole thing, you miss any of these major things, you can't make it up. You can't make it up with sujood as-sahwi. Like, okay, oh no, I forgot to, I actually forgot to make ruku. Let me make sujood as-sahwi. No, you have to do the whole rak'ah that you missed over again. So that's the word farz and the word wajib are two different things. Wajib is something that, you know, even though the scholars have said farz and wajib are the same, according to the majority of the scholars, some of the Hanafi, Ahnaf, they said, no, those are two different things. And I think that the terminology of wajib and farz, in terms of its usage, based on even the majority of the scholars, consider those two different things. So, like, let's say, for example, when somebody makes wudu, or somebody does something that's wajib, it means that you can't purposely leave it. You can't purposely leave it. You can, maybe out of forgetfulness, by mistake, then you can make it up. Like, let's say, for example, somebody makes hajj, and they go past miqat, and they go like, you know, I don't want to. I do not want to put my ihram until I get to Mecca. I don't have time to, like, I don't want to be on the car or on the plane with the ihram on. Let me just get to Mecca, get to my hotel, then I'll put on my ihram. Can I do that? I'm not allowed to do that. But what if I did that? Because I know there's some people, like some brothers, either it's due to ignorance, or they didn't know, or sometimes they just, you know, they are taught wrong. Because I know there was a whole group. This is a whole group that came from Vietnam. They're on the plane and they go into Mecca, and I meet them and like, you guys just got here? Like, yeah, we haven't, what are you, we're going to go on and put on ihram right now. I was like, what? You're already in Mecca and you didn't put your ihram yet? Says, no, we didn't put on ihram. We didn't know, because their leader, he doesn't know anything. Like, he has no knowledge of deen whatsoever. He brought the whole group, like at least like 70 or 80 people, and none of them had their ihram on, right? And then I told them, when I went to visit them, I told them, I said, no, you have to have your ihram, because if you pass the miqat, you have to put your ihram before you arrive, because the plane is going to enter the areas inside the miqat already. So you have to be in the state of ihram when you're coming. It's not an option. So in this case, what's something that they could do? What's something that they should do? Yeah, but if, let's say they don't want to slaughter, they could go back to the miqat, they can go back to the miqat, not outside haram, but they go back to miqat and then they do it over. So they can make it up either by going back and then coming in again correctly, right? Then they don't have to do anything. But if they don't, then they have to pay dam, right? Which means they have to slaughter. Why? Because they went, it's not an option. You can't just say, okay, even if somebody who's rich, he's like, you know, I can pay. 10 sheep, no problem. Right? 10 sheep, no problem. I want an easy hajj, relaxed hajj. Are you allowed to do, if somebody says, can I do that? Says, no, it's haram. You're sinning by leaving something that's wajib, something that's mandatory. Like some people are like, okay, can I come? I know, can I just, you know, it's very difficult for me. Can I just go into Mecca on purpose, go into Jeddah, and then stay in Jeddah, and tomorrow I'll go out to the Miqat, and then I'll come, and I'll do Ihram from there. No, can you do that? No, you can't. Why? Because you passed the Miqat intending to make Umrah. So you can't purposely leave something on purpose. But if you do so forgetfully, then it's either excusable or you can make it up. Like, for example, one thing like the Hanabila. Imam Ahmad is of the opinion that Basmalah, saying Bismillah before wudu, is wajib. It's wajib, it's mandatory. But is it a condition for the validity of wudu? It's not a condition. He said wajib when you remember, which means what? It means that you cannot abandon it on purpose. You can't just say, okay, I know I should say Bismillah, but I don't care. I don't care. If you do that, then it doesn't count. If you forget, let's say, okay, I already made wudu, I didn't say Bismillah, and you're finished, alhamdulillah, you know what, you didn't do it on purpose. You forgot, it's okay, it's excusable. The same, there are certain things that are wajib. What's something that's wajib in prayer? In prayer, it's mandatory upon you to have concentration, to concentrate, right? Like, it's mandatory upon you to concentrate, to be fully, to purposely, to, you know, when I say to concentrate, it means that you have to be reflecting upon that which is considered an act of worship. You understand? So you can think about, sometimes you're praying and you're thinking about your sins. You're repenting to Allah and you're focusing on the meanings of this. It's okay to be thinking about things that are beneficial for you in your deen. And that's why sometimes the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, sometimes I'm praying and while I'm praying, I am trying to set up the soldiers. Like, for Minadgo, he's thinking about the tactics in jihad. And, you know, how should he put the lines and so forth. You might say, well, that's not concentrating in prayer. Like, yes, it is, because it's part of the deen. You're concentrating on something that's considered ibadah, worship. The worship, you're in prayer, but you're also focused on your prayer and focus on the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You understand? So khushu is wajib. Khushu is mandatory. Which means what? If it's wajib. That means, okay, let me see. Allahu Akbar. Wait. I want to see how much money I have in my bank account. Let me check this out. Okay. Like, oh, I know I should be concentrating. Like, but well, let's put that aside for now. Like, do I have an option to put that aside? And you remember it. No, if you remember, you have to come back. You don't have like, okay, no, I'll come back afterwards later. Let me focus on this first. Or somebody says, okay, this is perfect time for me. Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. This is the perfect time for me to, you know, to see, to focus on, you know, some of the things, like say my business. Let me count. Count. What's the inventory? Allah. Let me see. Okay. What do I need to buy? Like, might as well, you know, make use of the time. Like, no, this is not the time for that. Right. That's those dunya affairs, dunya matters. Put that aside for now. Anything that's related to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and focusing on the meanings in the Quran and the Sunnah and your dua and your supplication. That's something that's mandatory. When we say wajib, that means you can't abandon it on purpose. You can't neglect it on purpose. You can't neglect it on purpose. You have to focus, be focused. And so when, you know, the first 10 days of Zulhijjah, of course, are the first, you know, those are the days in which a lot of the pilgrims are coming in to make intent, you know, for their Hajj. And I just wanted just a side point here. When it comes to intention, actions of the heart. Some people, they think that, you know, like, hey, when I'm making wudu, I'm coming to pray, Allahu Akbar. I already know I already knew ahead of time that I'm praying. Do I have to have an intention? Because there's two types of intentions, right? That which you do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and intention in determining what kind of worship you're doing. So am I praying Dhuhr or am I praying Asr? So some people, they are very neglectful in this matter. And they even sometimes you make fun of people who don't do it. So they say, for example, oh, you know, since you made wudu for dhuhr already, you know you're going to pray dhuhr. Like, you already know. Like, so why do you have to Do you have to have the intention? The intention is in the heart. But like right before I pray, do I have to have that intention? Do we have to like, yes, you should. Why? What's the proof for that? The proof for that is in the action of the Prophet ﷺ in Hajj. Right? When the Messenger of Allah ﷺ made Hajj, do you think he was planning before? Do you think the companions were planning ahead of time? Yeah, they plan weeks ahead of time. Like, you know, he's tending to go make Hajj. So when you come, put in your ihram, you don't have to say anything. You already know that you were going to make Hajj anyways. But did he just like put on his ihram and not say anything? No, he specifically, and in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down an order for him to make ihlal, that means to make the intention to begin his act of worship with the intention of combining Umrah and Hajj. And so that's why you say, Labbaik Allahumma Umrah, or Labbaik Allahu Umrah wal Hajj. Umrah fil Hajj, Umrah with Hajj. Or just Umrah only, or just Hajj when you're doing Ifrad. So that's what you're determining those specific. So the intention has to be there also, but sometimes there's leeway in the intention in and of itself. Right, especially when it comes to Hajj. Do you have to be specific? Like, do I have to make a specific Hajj intention? You know, the Prophet ﷺ, Ali ibn Abi Talib, he came to make Hajj. He puts on an ihram, he's not with the Prophet ﷺ. He doesn't know what the Prophet ﷺ did. What kind of Hajj he's making. Is he making, you know? And of course, the companions made Hajj before that, the year previous to that. So they know the rulings in relation to ihram and so forth, right? So, and you know, the actions of Hajj for the people of Arabia, even before Islam, when the major actions were very, very well, very, very known. So what did he do? He made Hajj. He said, you know, my intention to make Hajj is the same as the intention of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I don't know what he's doing. I have no idea what he's doing, but that's my intention. All right? He said, I want to make the same, whatever he's doing, that's what I'm doing. He didn't specify which one because he doesn't know. You know, like, okay, the Prophet is there already. I just got here. Look, what did he do? He spoke to everybody, but I'm not there. It's not like we're all in WhatsApp group and like, oh, what did he do, guys? What did he do, guys? And everyone's telling everybody. No, in the old days, you don't know. If you're not there, you don't have the information. So he says, okay, I'm going to make the same intention as that. And the Prophet approved of that intention, even though it wasn't specific. But still, there's an intention there. But that's specific for like Hajj. Right, that's specific. But still, the focus on the intention is something that some people neglect. Like he himself, he knew that he should make an intention, even though he didn't know which one exactly. But what did you do? He came to the Prophet later on, said, oh, Messenger of Allah, I didn't know what kind of Hajj you were making. So I just said, Ya Allah, I'm making the same one that the Prophet did. That's what I'm doing. And then he tells the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah approved of it. Right? But the fact that, what did he do? The fact that he himself made the initial effort to have the intention. You understand? That's why some people, but there's also a waswasa for some people. They go overboard because of the shaitan. The shaitan is very, very, very tricky, right? So he makes you, he goes, Allah, some people, Allah, Allah, Allah. Because they know this rule, because they hear about the scholars say, oh, you have to have this intention. And your intention should be during the time that you're actually doing the act. So like, oh, I don't have the intention. It's not correct yet. Wait, Allah, Allah, what am I praying? Wait, is it, how many rak'ah? So it's like, and then as soon as the crazy part is, that person will continue to have waswasa until the imam goes in the ruku'. When the imam goes in the ruku', something amazing happens. He's sure now, his intention, he gets it right. He gets it right as soon as the imam goes to the ruku'. Why? Because if he doesn't get it right, he's going to pray another rak'ah. He's going to do. And let me tell you something. Now, why would the shaitan not make him continue to have his waswasa? Why would the shaitan not make him continue to have his waswasa? Anybody know? Think about it. What's the benefit here? His benefit is he's trying to lessen. If he can't stop you from praying, he's going to delay you from joining the congregation. Okay? So now the imam is in ruku. What is the benefit of him joining? Right away. Yes. So he doesn't make extra sujood and ruku. Because if he doesn't count this rak'ah, what's he going to do? You want him to, because he was ordered to make ruku' and he didn't. Iblis, he was ordered to make ruku' and he didn't. And now, and that's why when you forget something, when shaitan makes you forget, you do sujood sahwi. Why? Why do you sujood sahwi? Because the Prophet he said, the shaitan will say, he will turn around and run, and he'll say, I was ordered to make sujood and I didn't. And now, because I made him doubt in his prayer, I bothered him in his prayer, he made more sujood. I don't want him to make more sujood. Right, you understand? So it's like, okay, you bothered me, huh? That's what you get, boy. It's like, that's what you get, you know? Like, that's what you get for messing with me. You're now going to do more sujood. Right? And so he doesn't want that. So a person who has this waswasa, this, you know, that the shaitan whispers and makes him doubt, all kinds of doubts, as soon as the imam goes, amazingly, he goes, all right, that's it. I got it right. Alhamdulillah. Because he doesn't want to miss the next rak'ah, the whole rak'ah. The person himself doesn't want to pray extra. Right? Why does he want to pray extra? Why? more sujood, more standing, more ruku, extra. Now this ruku is not going to, that sujood is not going to count, right? But you're still making sujood. Then you're going to make more sujood, a whole rak'ah, of extra sujood and extra ruku, right? So that's what immediately, Allah, 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 the imam goes, Allahu Akbar, he remembers right away. But so the shaitan always tries to distract you. And he doesn't always distract you from to do bad things. So if he can't make you do bad things, he will make you do the good things so that you won't do the better. And he'll make you do better so you won't do the best. And so that's also, and if he can't stop you, he'll delay. He'll make you procrastinate. So any way, any point, to lessen the reward that you get. So these first 10 days, what makes these first 10 days so special? It's because Hajj is one of the pillars of Islam. And you cannot make Hajj except for in these days. And so Hajj, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-Hajju Arafah. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ma min ayyam, there are any days, right? Which means what? There are no days at all, not even Ramadan, not even the last 10 nights of Ramadan. None. Ma min ayyam al-amalu salihu fiha ahabbu ila Allah min hadhihi al-ayyam. That good deeds are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these days. These are the last 10 days, or the first 10 of the Hijjah. Qalu ya Rasulullah. And so they said, O Messenger of Allah. Okay, so there's nothing equivalent to it. There's nothing equivalent to it at all. And listen to this. This is what makes these days so special. Because they said, Qalu ya Rasulullah. Wala al-jihadu fi sabilillah. Even jihad fi sabilillah. Yes, he said, even jihad fi sabilillah. Okay, so what is equivalent to it? If jihad is even not equivalent to it, then what is equivalent to it? The thing that's equivalent to it is illa rajul, except for a man. Kharaja bi nafsihi wa malihi thumma lam yarji' min dhalika bi shay. Except for a man that goes out with everything that he has, his self and his wealth, and he doesn't return with anything at all. He leaves and he returns with nothing. What that man, what is that? There's nothing. There's nothing like it, except for this one. Most people think, no, this is better. No, this is what you, this is the reward. The reward is greater than jihad fi sabilillah, and is equivalent, according to some scholars, to someone who dies in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know what? What does that person who dies in the path of Allah want to do? When a person dies in the path of Allah, what does he want? He wants Jannah, yes, but what does he want? After he dies, and he realizes he has Shahada, and he's died and he sees the reward, what does he want? He wants to come back and die again. Right? He wants to come back and die again in the path of Allah. He wants to come back over and over and over and over and die again. Right? So subhanAllah, every day in the days of Dhul Hijjah, the reward is so great that it's equivalent to somebody dying in the path of Allah. Right? And that person dying in the path of Allah will want to come back. So we are living in a day, in the days and the nights, in which all of those people who have passed away, they wish that they were still alive to worship Allah on this day. They wish they could come back to worship Allah. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. And the thing is, the problem with us is when we don't see that, you know, we don't see our, you know, when you see your money, you go to work, you get your back, you get your check, you cash it, and you see the bank account, like, oh, that's what I got, right? But see, the thing is, you don't see it. You don't see how much you're getting in terms of the reward. But if someone were to say, like to us right now, if you go to work tomorrow, let me tell you, what you're going to get, the salary, the amount of money that I'm going to pay you, right, is going to be paid to the person, let's say, who will get, who think about someone who makes the most money in a day. Think of someone who makes the most money in a day. Like what's a crazy amount of money that some people make? Let's say you say like $1 million. Some people are like, yeah, $1 million. All right, $1 million a day. It looks probably more than that, but let's say $1 million a day. Like, okay, you're gonna get more than that. Like that's so the companions are thinking, what is it? What's the greatest reward? What's the deed that has the greatest reward? The best that everybody wants. It's shahada, jihad fi sabilillah. That's it. But you know what? You're going to get more than that. Think about a job the highest paying job that anyone in this world can get. Right? And you're going to get more than that. You're going to get more than that. But you know, only these first 10 days. You work these first 10 days and you get more than the richest person, the person with the highest salary. If this was in the dunya, right, and you get to see it right away, like which one of, who amongst us would just like be sleeping and hanging around like, I'll skip today, you know. I'll call in sick. You call in sick or not? No, you're not calling in sick, right? Or you have, your wife goes like, no, can you bring me shopping? No, I can't bring you shopping today. No, I got to work, right? No, you're not going to change your plans. Your plan is going to revolve around that job. There's no way you're going to miss it. I don't care if it's a Super Bowl going on, right? Right? Or whatever it is, you know, like the World Cup, forget it. This is like $1 million a day? Would you miss the Super Bowl? Of course. You'd miss everything, right? $1 million a day, you might miss your son's wedding. Right? Think about it. Abdurrahman's crying. Yeah, right? You might miss your son's wedding. Like, is your wedding tomorrow? Yeah, I'm going to pay him. I think your mother will be there, inshallah. Right? Like, subhanAllah, right? You would plan everything around that if you knew how virtuous is this for the mu'minun, for the believers. And that's why the scholars of before, when these days came, they spent their nights in prayer and recitation of the Quran, in dhikr. They did not waste a single moment because the reward is so great. وَلَا الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ Even jihad فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ Even jihad فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he related another hadith. And this hadith is in Musnad Imam Ahmad. He says, كُنْتُ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ I was with the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And he said, and we mentioned the day, the deeds. We mentioned we were speaking about deeds, and he said, "ما من أيام العمل فيهن أفضل من هذه العشر." There are no days in which deeds therein are better than these 10. And even jihad في سبيل الله, even jihad في سبيل الله, and. And so he said, even jihad fi sabilillah. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, except for a person who leaves with himself and his wealth, and he passes away therein. I'm mentioning this because sometimes this is another hadith. The one that's very, very well known, of course, is the hadith in from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, but a similar wording is also comes to us from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. And so, what kind of good deeds, if we know that, what kind of good deeds that can you do during these days? Okay. So, inshallah, we'll go through some of those deeds. The first thing is, the best thing you could do is make Hajj during these days. Hajj and Umrah. Al-Hajj and Umrah. And of course, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Umrah ila al-Umrah. Kafaratun lima baynahuma. Between two Umrahs, it's expiation between them. والحج المبرور, and Hajj that is accepted, ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة. And the Hajj that is accepted, there is no reward for it except for Jannah. There's no reward for it except for Jannah. So what is Hajj المبرور? الحج المبرور is the Hajj that is according to, or the Hajj that is the Hajj that was taught to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, doing it according to the Sunnah and following the steps that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered us to do. So some people, when they make Hajj, they're always looking for the easy way. They're not looking for the Sunnah. Al-Hajj al-Mabrur is someone who's looking to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when he's not able to, that's when he looks for a fallback, or that's when he looks for an exception, right? But some people, when they go right away, they look for exception. Do I have to stay in Mina? Do I have to? And they say, it's Sunnah. Okay, it's Sunnah. That means I don't have to. If you say it's Sunnah, they say, no, that means I don't have to. And so the majority of the scholars, of course, are saying that you have to stay in Mina the 12th, the 11th and 12th. And that's something that's mandatory. But Al-Hajj al-Mabrur is also that which you stay away from sins. And al-Hajj al-Mabrur is that which is sincere. You're not doing it because you want others to call you Haji. Or you're not doing it because some people, they go make Hajj because, they just want to show off. And there are some people, I'm going to make Hajj because, and all my parents are like always on me. Like, let me just make Hajj, get it over with, so that she doesn't say anything anymore. Right? No. You make Hajj for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though the Hajj is may be valid, but the Hajj that's mabrur is the one that is sincere for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's not done for notoriety and so forth. And that's why in Hajj, there are a lot of people, a lot of the brothers who are making Hajj are like, yeah, I'm not the Kaaba brother, you know where I am right now, you know what this is? And they have their phone. Like, you might be laughing. I want you to look. When you're there, you'll see brothers like doing this, raising their phones, And they're like, I have actually walked by somebody and said, hey, brother, you know where I am? You know where I am? He says, oh, mashallah, mashallah. Like, and he's on WhatsApp Live. Oh, not WhatsApp Live. What do you call it? Facebook Live. Like, and they're showing off to other people, right? They're showing off to other people. And it's, you know, sometimes it's okay to share with people whom you love. Like, say, hey, mother, this is where I am right now. And you're doing it because, you know, you want to let them know and you want to motivate them and so forth. But be careful. Because some people, that's all, they go out there, they go there because they just want to show off. And you'll see them taking pictures left and right and so forth. And so also, wala aw rafath. Rafath is, if you know, like anything that's related to marriage. So you stay away from, you know, marital relations, especially, you know, in ihram, of course. And fusuq is transgression. And, of course, it's something that, you know, hajj al-mabrur is one when someone continues to do as much good deeds as they can while they're doing it. And so this is the best deed that you can do in the first 10 of the hijjah, right? To make hajj, or to make hajj and umrah. And because it's the only time, then, because when you do that, you're able to do all of these deeds, right? So when you're making hajj, can you fast the first 10 days of the hijjah? Yes, you can. You can fast. Day of Arafah, you don't fast, but let's say before hajj starts, the virtues of fasting are also for those who are in Mecca. Like they're waiting for the 8th of the hijjah, they want to fast, they can fast. In fact, you know, some people who are unable to pay the fidyah, they can't slaughter, they don't have the money to slaughter. I know some Jamia students, university students, when they used to go, they used to make ifrad because they didn't have a lot of money. So they made umrah many times already. So they would go in and they would make hajj only, ifrad, hajj. Why would you want to make only hajj? Because they can't afford the slaughtering, right? Because a lot of them, that's the money that they have is like, you know, they used to have what was called, you know, the stipend, mukafa'ah, and then they would get that and they would send it to their family members. So when they're making hajj, you know, they don't have money to slaughter. And so sometimes they want to slaughter or they want to, but they don't, if they go to Mecca early, they have to be in the state of ihram for a long time and they don't want that. So what they do is they do tamattu, they do umrah, and then they wear regular clothing. But then they can't afford the slaughter. So what do you do if you can't afford the slaughter? What's your other option? Fasting, right? Fasting, sab'atun, right? You fast for 3 days, right? In hajj, sab'atun idha raja'atun, tilka asharatun kamila. So those are the fasting of fidyah. So sometimes they can't afford the slaughtering. So I know some of the brothers who used to go make hajj, they're like, yeah, I'm making tamattu, but yeah, I'm fast. I need to get my 3 days in. You know, I need to get my 3 days in. So and even for a pilgrim who's in Mecca, they can fast also. And fast, so then if you fast and you pray, of course, you're praying in Masjid al-Haram, you're also, you know, you give in charity. And of course, when you're slaughtering, where does that meat go? Al-Hadi. The meat goes to the people, or it's distributed to the people of the poor people, right? People of Mecca, people in surrounding areas, for them. So you give, so the combination of all these deeds, and the best thing you can do is, of course, hajj and then fasting. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, for those who are not in hajj, siyamu yawmu arafah, the fasting of the day of Arafah. Fasting with the ahtasibu ala Allah ayyukafira sanata allati qabla wa allati ba'da. In Sahih Muslim, the narration in Sahih Muslim is that the day, the fasting of Arafah, I consider, I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expiate the previous and the following. The previous year and the following year also. And so that's the fasting of the day of of course, the ninth of the Hijjah, which is the day of Arafah. And of course, the prayers themselves also, you're praying, and you pray, the more you pray sunnahs, the better it is. And another thing that we should also be doing is doing a lot of takbir. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu and Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, they used to go out into the marketplace, Ayyam al-Ashr, the first 10 days, and they would say the takbir to remind people. So to do the takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So this is known as what? This is known as takbirat al-mutlaqa. This is the general takbirat. The general takbirat start from the beginning of Dhul-Hijjah, and it's every day. Anytime you want to do it, you do it. And then you have the takbirat specific. What is the specific takbirat? That is the day of, that's done. Like the day of Eid and Ayyam al-Tashriq, right? And the following days. So that's after every single prayer that you do so, after every single prayer. And so to increase in the takbirat is something that is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he says, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أَعْظَمَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ الْعَمَلَ فِيهِنَّ مِنْ هَذِي الْأَيَّامِ الْعَشْرِ. There aren't any days that are more greater, the more beloved to Allah, than these 10 days. فَأَكْثِرُوا, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِنَّ. So increase in it, التَّهْلِيلُ وَالتَّكْبِيرُ التَّحْمِيدُ. Tahleel, say La ilaha illallah, takbir, Allahu Akbar, and tahmeed, Alhamdulillah. So these are the things that we should do, and this is narrated by Imam Ahmad and in his Musnad. And of course, giving sadaqah, giving in charity. So these are the things that, inshallah, that you can do. And there are many other things that you can do. For example, recitation of the Quran, istighfar, being kind to your parents, enjoining relations, giving salams, feeding the poor. If there's any problems, people reconciliation between brothers that have a grudge against each other, enjoining good and forbidding evil, making sure you protect your tongue, you protect your private part, being good to your neighbors, taking care of your hosting, being good host if you have guests, spending in the path of Allah, cleaning the masjid, also. Cleaning the area, cleaning just the road anywhere, because that's part of sadaqah also. Cleaning the road, also taking care of your family. I mean, when you go to work and take care of your family, that's also sadaqah, right? So it's okay. You go with going to work with the right intention, taking care of your family, taking care of the orphans, visiting those who are sick, helping others who are in need. Giving salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Of course, staying away from harming other Muslims, enjoining relations and being good to your parent friends. If your father has already passed away, enjoining the relationship between you and those who are close to your parents. And of course, making dua for your brothers and sisters, right? Making dua for other people, because that's the dua that's accepted. Fulfilling your promise, fulfilling your trust, and also just taking care of and helping your aunts and uncles, helping and visiting your aunts and uncles also. That's something that you can do. And of course, lowering your gaze. Don't look at anything that's haram. When you're making wudu, make sure you make wudu properly. Right, when you're making wudu, make sure you make wudu properly, because making wudu properly is one of the exceptional acts of that will gain us a lot of great reward. Also, also making dua between the adhan and the iqama. When the adhan is made, you're waiting for the iqama. The Prophet ﷺ said the dua at that time is accepted, so increase in it. And of course, if it's Jum'ah, recite Surah Al-Kahf, and going to the masjid, making sure that you pray in the masjid. Making sure that you invite others also to come to the masjid and to come to, classes and lectures and talks. Those are one of the most beneficial acts during these days. And also making sure you pray your sunnah al-rawatib, praying at home and praying in the masjid, praying, and of course, praying the Eid prayer also, of course, is part of that, and going to the Eid prayer. And making the dhikr after the prayers, also making sure that that which you take in is halal, and putting happiness in other people, making your family happy, your friends, and meaning buying gifts for them. It's actually something that is an act of worship also. if you want. So there are so many things that we can do. And also taking care of those who are poor, those who are needy, helping them out, enjoining good, meaning, you know, when you see something good, trying to invite other people to do good also. And then also clearing, forgiving others also, because some people they forget about internal acts, right? Acts of good deeds that are done internally. And teaching your children, your family, and so forth, that's also another thing that's a good deed. And helping others do good. And so there's so many things, right? So many things that you can do. You might think, what do I do? People are always asking, what can I do? Like, there's so many things you can do. Just think about anything that's pleasing to Allah. Anything that's pleasing to Allah, just do them. And whatever you do, ihsan in it. You're going to... Let me try to be more focused on my prayer. So do more. Do better and be consistent. Do it often, inshallah. Do more, do better, and do it often. So these are the days, the best days of the year. And I just wanted to remind, because you know, because these are like these are reminders that we don't get opportunities to do all the time, and it's specific for these days. So that's why sometimes when these days come, we do have like a class that I which sort of sidetrack so that we can, inshallah, benefit. You take benefit from them. And so, yeah, there are a lot of good things. But make sure the best thing you can do is that which is also the dhikr, the specific one. Which one is, alhamdulillah, when he tells you at a certain time, that's the best thing you can do. Some people say, well, what kind of dhikr can I do? Well, he says, فَأَكْثِرُوا مِنْ التَّهْلِيلِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ وَالتَّحْمِيدِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ Alhamdulillah, right? Those things. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. That's it. This is the sigha that Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and others, they used to say. And when they used to, you know, say, sometimes they would say it out loud in the masajids, or not in the marketplace, to remind the people, right? Why did they go out? Why did they go out to the marketplace? These guys. In America, how do you know when it's the holidays? When you go to the supermarket and you hear jingle bells and you hear these, what do you call it? What do you hear? You hear the Christmas carols, you hear the Christmas songs, right? All the time, right? So what did the companions used to do to remind people that these days are special? They used to go to the supermarket. Oh, not supermarket. They used to go to the marketplaces, right? They used to go to the markets in Medina, right? They would remind people, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and people in the marketplace, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha, marketplace, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Walillahil hamd. They would go, and then, right, now everybody in the marketplace is making dhikr. Right? So if you're in a Muslim country, that's something that should be revived to make you feel special. The first 10, these are special days. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And maybe if you go to like the Somali Mall or something like that, you have all the Muslims around you. Remind the brothers, inshallah, and sisters who are there. Now if you go to like South Center Mall, people are gonna be looking at you. What's this? Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. They're like, oh no. You make takbir? Oh, the Muslims are here. They're trying to right the you know, but in non-Muslim country, in Muslim country, you could do something like that. You know, you have all Muslims around you and make it special. And it's something that we've left. We've abandoned. And that's why a lot of people, the first 10 days come, it's like normal, special. And the thing is, even Muslim countries, if you're not living in Mecca, Medina, first 10, what? There's nothing special. Ramadan, yes. Eid before, last 10 days, and so, yes. But these 10 days are very special. Very special. And so make it special also. Sit down with your kids also. Remind them of how special these days are. And so with that, inshallah, I just like to end. I went a little bit longer than usual. But hopefully, inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us. Subhanahu wa ta'ala.